We'll see you at 4 Eastern right here on ESPN for NFL Live. The secret to Dallas's defensive success, plus everything you need to know about the Patriots as they're going to welcome Tom Brady back home again. Why Mac Jones has been struggling and how they can fix it. We'll see you at 4.
All right, Laura, looking forward to it. It's crunch time here on The Jump. Yesterday at Blazers Media Day, Dame addressed Portland's offseason by saying, quote, "I didn't expect us to go out there and get Kevin Durant all of a sudden, but we've done some things that I like. I think we'll be competitive again." So, Ramona, how competitive are the Blazers going to be?
I mean, they've been competitive the whole time. Dame's been there. They're just not necessarily in the hunt for a championship. I think they'll be better this year. I think everything I hear from players on that team is that people really like playing for Chauncey Billups so far. Big Nurk right there, he was saying how much he enjoys him so far the other day when I talked to him. They're going to be better. Are they going to win? I don't know.
Probably not. Perk?
Well, they're actually my dark horse to coming out of the Western Conference.
Wow.
Okay.
But here's why I say it. When you look at the Portland Trail Blazers, right, this is a group of guys that could score with any of them, right? They when you talk about what they got on the offensive side of things with Dame, C.J. McCollum, Norman Powell, right, those three in particular is a miniature big three on the offensive end that could get buckets. And now you got Big Nurkic, who said publicly, Chauncey Billups was the best thing that didn't happen for me since Damian Lillard. And that goes to show me we're talking about communication. And what happens in a great marriage when you get married, the number one thing that the preacher tell you is communication, right? You got to... So that goes to tell me that now Chauncey has the ears, he has the attention of the locker room. So when I look at the Portland Trailblazers, they get things right on the defensive side of things, with what the offensive firepower that they have, they're my dark horse.
All right, well, Perk, I'm just warning you. I saw our boy Chuck, Charles Barkley, last year put big cash on the Blazers, and they didn't play a lick of defense, didn't help out Chuck. So hopefully...
Either.
Yeah, hopefully you don't go down
Perk
that path.
Marriage advice, though. That can be like a spin-off.
Perk's marriage advice should be a segment.
Good.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's talk about the Clippers. Speaking of a marriage, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George got basketball married a couple years ago. Kawhi's playoff run came to an unfortunate end after partially tearing his ACL at the end of Game 4 in the second round versus Utah. Yesterday, he was asked about his decision to sign a long-term contract as opposed to a one-on-one deal. Let's take a listen.
Because I wanted to play. You know what I mean? I mean, the best situation for me. And I wanted to be able to come back if I was able to this year. If I'd have took the 1-1, I probably would have not played just to be cautious and, you know, opted out and took a 5-year.
So, Perk, what changes for the Clips if Kawhi can go at this point, at some point this season?
Oh, everything changes. It puts them right back in the thick of things, especially with Paul George getting his confidence back. We all were able to see what Ty Lue brings to the table because he has been flying under the radar because he coached LeBron James. But if Kawhi could come back and he's 80 to 90% healthy, watch the hell out. Reggie Jackson, Marcus Morris. I think, you know, when you look at them last year, if they had Kawhi, I honestly believe that they would have went to the finals.
You know, I was at the Clippers groundbreaking that they had last week. And there is some cautious optimism that Kawhi can come back this year. I mean, everybody wants to be cautious because nobody wants to put any expectations on him, any pressure on him to come back. He even said the other day, I don't know if people heard the full quote, "I don't feel like I'm injured." It's hard to feel like you're... That's right. A good quote right there from Kawhi.
We'll see. Thanks, Ramona and Perk. Dave McMiniman, we'll talk to you tomorrow. NFL Live is next.
We just make everybody jealous with that.
All right, LeBron, what do you like? What's your call here?
Run it, you know, throw it. They're playing zone.
Yeah, I think you go right back to the run. Go right back to the run.
Yes. Yes.
That's down.
LeBron is much better at predicting plays than you, Peyton.
All right, LeBron called his shot on Zeke's second quarter touchdown last night. Perk, you played against Bron. You played with Bron. Could you imagine at tight end or receiver, LeBron, Ramon James?
I mean, look, I've seen a few of his high school highlight films and watching him play against some little short guys and doing maybe. But look, Bron needs, you know, look, he picked the right sport, all right?
He is.
Basketball. Would he have been great in football? I don't see it. He would have been good, probably had a nice career, but not great.
Oh, I think it would have been great. I mean, look how big he is. That's like Tony Gonzalez out there.
Yeah.
See, Ramona, that's why you got to come down to Texas and actually watch.
Oh, okay. You see?
Those it's always about that. Again. It's
Ohio, Texas. Look, man, you got nothing. Texas got nothing on California and Florida, Perk.
Yeah, whatever.
We have to have that, you know, that hunting mentality ourselves, you know, because are we satisfied? I'm not satisfied. I'm not even close to being satisfied. There's no weight off my shoulder. I feel the same. I enjoy, obviously, that we're champions, but the weight is the same.
The champ is here. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm George Sedano here with Kendrick Perkins and Worldwide Momo. Ooh. And that was Giannis at Media Day talking about not being satisfied, obviously, after winning an NBA championship. It's been a little over 2 months since Giannis and the Bucks won the title, but for some reason, no one is talking about their chances to repeat here. So Giannis says he still wants that chip on his shoulder, and he doesn't care about trophies necessarily, but he wants to get better and win. So, Perk, I'll start with you. Are people sleeping on the Bucks?
Yes, I do believe people are sleeping on the Bucks, and rightfully so, right, because of the Lakers and Nets. But I will not disrespect the defending champions. And when we look at Giannis, a guy who's the most dominant player in the NBA, and he has two counter partners in Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday, who are all still in their prime, one thing about it is that anything can happen. And once you've been through the war, once you're battle tested and you know what it takes, the highs and lows, they have the experience now. They know what it takes. And right now, I wouldn't count the Bucks out. They're not my pick, but I would not just count them out, and I wouldn't be surprised if they repeat.
Man, that is exactly what you want to hear Giannis say if you're the Bucks, that he's not satisfied, he can still get better, because he's right. He's 26. That's usually when players are entering their prime, and this man already has two MVPs and a Finals MVP. I mean, he can still get better. He can work on his back-to-the-basket game. He can work on his free-throw shooting. And he's so good. George, he is going to pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar this year for most points scored as a Buck. This year, probably like April or so. I mean, and he's 26. He's just now entering his prime.
But I think that's the move. I think that barring some unforeseen circumstance from someone on the roster that I don't envision, because the rest of those guys are very good to great, certainly. But he is all-time great, and he still can elevate his game so they can continue to be in that mix if he continues to ascend, as he points out that he says he wants to. So moving on from Milwaukee to Philadelphia, where Ben Simmons and the Sixers drama is getting spicy. Simmons officially no-showed at Sixers Media Day, and according to Sam Amick of The Athletic, Ben Simmons believes playing with Joel Embiid has, quote, run its course. So Ramona, take us behind the curtain here. How do you see this saga playing out with the Sixers and Ben?
Well, we're gonna get some information probably the end of this week, because that's when his first check is due. So they have to decide, are they going to fine him? We probably won't hear about that because they'll be private, but they'll decide if they're going to pay him, right? And that's when the first check is due. So that will escalate from there. But the Sixers are looking at this as, right now, teams are trading or making offers and discussing offers that are where Ben is probably at his all-time lowest value. Okay, and most of the offers are essentially draft picks, expiring contracts, maybe a good middle-of-the-range player. But the way they see it is they have a 5-10% chance to win this year with the roster with Ben Simmons on it. Okay, and Daryl Morey's an analytics guy. He looks at chance to win. So they don't want to trade him for any package that does not send back a player that keeps them at that same chance to win going forward. And right now, the offers they're seeing are more draft picks, expirings, where the idea is make the first trade, get those draft picks and expirings, then wait till the middle of the year when a disgruntled superstar or a team is disappointing. Let's say Zach LaVine, Dame Lillard, Bradley Beal, something like that.
So you think that's possible?
The rest of the league is...
You think that's possible?
That is
you think
the way
that
you
they
have
make
to think
an initial deal for what people would assume is undervalue, right?
Well, the Sixers would rather not do that.
Right.
Okay, that's what all the people who are pitching them now are trying to get them to do. Okay, but the Sixers would rather make just one deal. Why
sure.
make one deal to get a bunch of draft picks and expirings to use in a second deal to get a star later? You don't know if a star is going to be available later. You don't know if a great player is going to be available later. You know Ben Simmons is a superstar. You know Ben Simmons is an all-star. And they really believe Ben Simmons can still be that player. Now, I talked to somebody close to Ben the other day, and they said, what is the purpose of him showing up at this point with all that has happened in this offseason? If Ben even shows up, let's say it's a month from now, 2 months from now, he has no intention of ever doing that. But let's say we get to that point. What Ben Simmons are you going to get at this point? Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, like, is he going to be the same guy that he was for you the past few years? Is he going to be the all-star Ben Simmons? Not where his head is at right now.
Well, see, it's so much to unravel right now. And I'm just thinking about, you know, the way that Ben is handling things. And if I'm a team that's trading for Ben, honestly, I'm sitting up here thinking to myself, hey, I don't know what will happen if we get him over here and things doesn't go his way or he underperforms or anything to that nature. Now, I know a lot went on as far as the press conferences with Doc Rivers and Joel Embiid, and Ben has said that he has had bigger problems with the organization just before last season, but he also signed on the dotted line. But I'm here to tell the world right now, look, Philadelphia, and I've been saying this for weeks, the front office and the ownership are not trading Ben Simmons for just anything. Mm-hmm. They want an all-NBA caliber player or MVP caliber player for Ben Simmons. And right now, from what I understand, the ownership group is willing to hold out and be stubborn and say, okay, cool, we'll wait until the perfect opportunity presents itself for the betterment of our organization. Because the way that they're thinking is, how are you gonna, they're thinking like this, Ben Simmons, you played bad, and you want us now to go out there and you want us to take the hit? They're not doing it. So until they get a player that they think could come in and help them win right away, an MVP, all-NBA player, I think Ben Simmons is going to sit and he's still going to be part of the 76er organization.
By the way, Perk, Ben Simmons is willing to sit as long as it takes too. I mean, when you talk to people close to Ben, I say, okay, worst case scenario, it takes all year. Would he sit all year? And the answer right now is yes. Now, you can say that right now at the beginning of training camp. You can say that you're willing to sit all year if that's what it takes to go get traded to a team that you feel more comfortable on. But let's see what happens when you really start missing checks, when you really start missing basketball, when the league moves on without you.
But George and Ramona, but I knew it was, and I said this last week, I knew it was going to get to this point, right, where it was going to be that one ownership group or owners of an organization is saying, you know what? No, we're not going to budge. We're not going to move to the beat of your drum. And I think this is what's about to happen with the 76ers. Now, Ben is not moving. He's obviously made it public. He said he's willing to sit out the whole year, which he probably missed out on a lot of money. But here's the part on the money standpoint. It's a new generation where, you know, guys are getting so much money that they're comfortable. That bank account is full, so as stupid as it may sound to me or the rest of the world, guy missing out on X amount of dollars, to them, they like, I'm set. I could afford to lose money this year and set out and make a statement. So now you're just looking at two parties that are being very stubborn right now. And really, it's not just Daryl Morey, Elton Brand, and Doc Rivers. This is coming from the very, very top.
All right, fair enough. It'll be fascinating to see how it all unfolds. All right, we got to take a quick break. But coming up, the Lakers loaded up this offseason. But who needs to sacrifice the most for this team to succeed? We'll talk about it next, right here on The Jump. Here's our next UFC Fight Night Saturday from the Apex in Las Vegas. Thiago Santos takes on Johnny Walker in the light heavyweight main event. Starts at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific on ESPN+. To get ESPN+, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm here with Dave McMiniman, live from Lakers Media Day. Dave, what sense did you get from LeBron on his mindset here entering year 19?
George, I think he's really energized. You think about it, this is his longest offseason that he's had in a couple years, and he told me that he was 100% healthy after that high ankle sprain really sabotaged last season for him and the Lakers. He was able to get back in the gym. I asked him about his initial workout with Russell Westbrook this summer, and he said from that very first time we got into the gym together, we could tell both of us our fitness levels at like an all-time high, and that meant that they were already ready to begin this thing back in August. So come October, you feel like they'll have not just their wind and their determination, but they'll also have the familiarity where the Lakers could make some noise again in this league.
Dave, AD was injured last season, obviously, and Frank Vogel's talked about how he looks like he's in great shape. What kind of shape do you see him in, and is there any pressure on him entering this year?
Yeah, I actually got a chance to talk to AD one-on-one, and after we finished our interview and he was walking away, we had acknowledgement, like, you know, this season's all on you. Like, it goes as far as you go. And he kind of laughed and shrugged his shoulders. He's like, I guess so. I'm like, well, if you're bubble AD, no problem. He goes, okay, well, I'll have to go back to the bubble braids. And so, obviously, that player, that Anthony Davis who played in Orlando, was arguably a top five player in the league. And some of his teammates on the Lakers were saying, I don't know who's better, LeBron or Anthony Davis. Last year, after a shortened offseason and after a bunch of injuries, he was not that player. And all of the pieces that they brought in, Russell Westbrook, Dwight Howard, Carmelo Anthony, and the like, none of them will be able to have the impact they're potentially able to bring unless Anthony Davis plays like that all-world player that we've seen in the past.
Now, with all those players on the roster, the future Hall of Famers, Rob Pelinka talked about it recently as well, about, you know, being unselfish and the sacrifice. And look, LeBron, of all players on this roster, understands that, having played on some big threes in the past with a lot of Hall of Famers. Do you get the sense they're ready to make the necessary sacrifices as a collective to win a title?
Well, they're all saying it, George. I asked Carmelo about that same sentiment because there are 11 new players on this team. So on the one hand, yeah, Vegas has them as one of a couple teams as the championship favorites along with the Nets and the Bucks. On the other hand, there's only three returning players. They have that much roster turnover and expect to hoist the Larry O'Brien trophy 9 months from now seems like a tall task, but at the same time, Carmelo told me the same thing. LeBron told me the same thing. Anthony Davis told me it comes down to mindset and sacrifice. And they're at least saying it right now. They'll have to put it into practice as these games start popping up on the schedule.
Dave, you're the man, brother. Thanks for joining us.
All right, you got it.
All right, there he is, Dave McMiniman. I want to bring Ramona and Perk back into the conversation. The Lakers have had a lot of accomplished veterans here that they've added to this particular roster. So, Perk, I'll start with you. You know better than anyone how much the Lakers will have to sacrifice to succeed. What do you make of it?
I mean, look, sacrificing for the Lakers is going to be easy. We're not talking about a group of young guys. We're talking about a group of guys, you know, who's already paid, who has accomplished everything that they needed to accomplish individually. A lot of guys on veteran minimums. And I guarantee you that they had these conversations before these guys were signed that, hey, you may not play certain nights or this is going to be your role. And they know this. When you have guys of that age and they come together, they know the one goal is a championship. I was on a veteran team where Paul, Ray, KG, all of those guys had to come together to sacrifice because they know that they had to get a championship to really put them in a different, you know, atmosphere, stratosphere for as their career. And then when you add a guy like Dwight Howard who knows what it takes, Rondo, Carmelo Anthony, all those guys know. So these conversations already been had. So now when we look back and say, oh, LeBron had a pre-training camp before training camp in Vegas, it was because of the camaraderie. See, what people need to realize is that when you're trying to win a championship, it starts the first day or even before, the first week before training camp. You want to start developing habits on and off the court, great chemistry, and that's what the Lakers are going to do. And look, it's going to be easy. I don't want to keep hearing about all these different changes and all this. We're dealing with 37 to 40-year-old men that's eligible in 5 years for their pick and their 401k.
AARP cards. Perk, who picked up that tab in Vegas, though, at dinner when they were out there practicing?
I don't know. I know it wasn't Braun. He's so cheap, it's ridiculous.
Probably AD, right? He's been paying for his own. He didn't pay for the wedding. Everybody ate there. Look, I was driving in here this morning, and I heard Dwight Howard on the radio doing his interview, and it was almost, George, like last year didn't happen. Right. I know they have a lot of new players, but the core group of that championship team, and it feels like it's back. Like, mm-hmm. It was like Dwight, Dwight's back, Rondo's back, Braun's back, AD's back. And if you close your eyes and you just pretend 2021 didn't happen, it was a bad year for the Lakers. And this year feels a lot like the 2020 year where they won, where Braun had got knocked. He didn't make the playoffs. He was injured the year before. He went and filmed Space Jam. He was on this, he was, you know, he was in the gym every morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. I feel like we're just reliving the 2020 year, and 21 didn't happen.
And I believe the Lakers have a ton of talent on this roster. And when you give LeBron James that kind of rest, we saw what happened the last time. Championship is what ensued after that. But Dave is right. It's on AD. Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt about that. All right, let's get to some controversial comments from Media Day yesterday. Warriors forward Andrew Wiggins and Wizards guard Bradley Beal made their resistance to the COVID-19 vaccine known. Here's what each of them had to say yesterday. Let's take a listen.
You know, I'll say something when I'm ready. You know, the only thing the media has done is kind of make it bigger than it has to be. So, like I said, I'll say my side of everything when I'm ready. You know, I don't work on y'all's time. I work on my time, you know.
In terms of bigger than it has to be, I mean, you stand to lose a lot of money.
And it's my problem, not yours.
Okay.
Every player, every person in this world is going to make their own decision for themselves. I would like an explanation to, you know, people with vaccines. Why are they still getting COVID? If that's something that we are supposed to highly be protected from, like, it's funny that it reduces your chances of going to the hospital. It doesn't eliminate anybody from getting COVID, right? So is everybody in here vaxxed? I would assume, right? So you all can still get COVID, right?
As for the issue of vaccine mandates and why they aren't happening around the league, NBA spokesperson Mike Bass said in a statement Tuesday, quote, a vaccine mandate for NBA players would need an agreement with the Players Association. The NBA has made these proposals, but the Players Union has rejected any vaccination requirement, quote, end quote. Ramona, what is your reaction to the comments from Beal and Wiggins, given that there won't be any vaccine mandate from the league?
Well, I think my reaction doesn't matter. It's more of his teammates and the people he's around every day because they're in close contact. And, you know, Baxter Holmes had a good story the other day saying a lot of staffers who are on teams where there's not 100% vaccination are leery of working with players or they're uncomfortable working with unvaccinated players. And you know, look, if I go cover a game, I'm going to have a mask on. Most of those people around them will as well. But if you heard what Steph Curry said, where he just said, you know, it's not ideal. Steph Curry was asked about what it means for the Warriors if Andrew Wiggins is not allowed to play home games. And it's not ideal. So it's really up to you, the people around you. How do your teammates feel about it? How do you feel about how they feel about it? And I think that's what's going to essentially be the pivot point here of whether or not these people, the players that are unvaccinated, eventually take the shot or don't.
Well, you know what? Here's the problem that I have, right? And to each his own. But, you know, being in the NBA fraternity and the brotherhood, if Bradley Beal and Andrew Wiggins, you know, if they have concerns about the vaccine, hey, just go back and watch Carl Anthony Towns and watch every time he did an interview and watch him talk about the COVID situation and watch how he talk about how he missed his mother every single day, God rest her soul, and how he almost lost his father as well due to COVID and what he's had to deal with and why he went and got vaccinated. And if you could go back and you could go watch everything that Carl Anthony Towns went through and everything that Carl Anthony Towns shared with not only the NBA world, but with the world and how he had to fight to get through this trying time, and if you can't figure out whether or not you want to get vaccinated, then you just have closed ears and you don't have an open mind.
Well said, Perk. We'll move on. Coming up, Malika Andrews sat down with Kevin Durant to discuss the playoff loss to the Bucks, expectations for this upcoming season, and more. Stick around. You're watching The Jump. The Nuggets agreed to a 5-year max extension with Michael Porter Jr. The deal could be worth $207 million if he makes one of three All-NBA teams this season. Ooh. He joins a few others in his 2018 draft class that have received max deals. So, Perk, Denver's now tied to the core of MPJ, Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, and Nikola Jokic. How confident are you in that group ceiling?
I'm very confident, and I love it. Go get your lettuce, young man. And look, Denver drafted three out of those four guys. They developed those guys, and I love that they saying, you know what? We feel like we got something with you, with this core. We're going to pay you, and we're going to keep moving forward. I love it, especially for small market teams.
You know what? Something his dad said really struck with me. I mean, just a little while ago, he was recovering from his second back surgery. Congratulations, young man. Yeah. You came made it back from that and still got a contract like this. Good for you.
And he is a walking 20 and 10, woo, okay? So as he continues to get better and more experience, he's going to add how to be a more of a playmaker, which he already was as a youngster, but he'll have to make sure that's part of his NBA game. And then the defense. It's a good time to be a Denver Nuggets fan. I think they have championship caliber material on their roster and a great coach in Michael Malone. So. Mm-hmm. Tonight we'll have a WNBA playoff doubleheader for you with a pair of game ones in these best of five semifinals. First, the top seed Sun hosts the Sky at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then it's the Mercury taking on Asia Wilson and the Aces. Both games are on ESPN2 and the ESPN app. Welcome back. Yesterday, Malika Andrews sat down with Kevin Durant at Nets Media Day. Let's check it out.
Nets star Kyrie Irving did not attend the team's media day in Brooklyn, raising questions about his vaccination status.
How this proceeds from here is really a mystery. We are in completely uncharted territory. We have never seen anything like this.
Unfortunately, one of the things that's still hanging over everybody's head this year is COVID. As one of the leaders of this team, how do you kind of address it as a locker room in terms of basketball, not so much in terms of everything else, in terms of keeping people on the court?
Yeah, we just say focus on yourself. We understand this is bigger than basketball, and we understand the ramification it has on the game, but this is a personal decision above all, above basketball, in my opinion. So guys are just focusing on themselves, and, you know, when it's time to play, we go out there and do your job.
James said that means last year was scary hours, this year is scarier hours.
I'm rocking with whatever motto James and Kai come up with, I'm rocking. So I just got to come up there and me individually do the same, and we'll be fine.
Here is Durant moving on Tucker. Turns, he shoots.
Yes! Wearing some fly kicks today. Do you still think about the toe on the line at all?
Nah. Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, definitely wish I was behind the line, but you know, it is what it is. It was a great, great series, a fun series to be a part of. And felt like a championship level series because they went on to win the title.
Do you agree with Kevin Durant at number one for the first time?
Hell yeah. Without question. Kevin Durant, best player in the world. Let's just call it what it is, man. Let's just call it what it is.
You've agreed to a contract extension with Brooklyn. Why did it feel like this was the time to do that for you?
I felt like it was a great place to play, a good organization to play for. I have amazing teammates, and I love coming into Brooklyn and playing in Barclays every night. So it worked out. It was perfect timing.
When you're talking about last season, it's hard to talk about it without health. That's sort of the what-if factor in the room. If you guys were able to maintain that, what is the ceiling this season?
We can be as good as we want to be. We got a lot of talent on this team, a lot of IQ on this team, and if we stay on the court together, I think we could do some good things.
Malika will be hosting a new daily basketball show, NBA Today, starting Monday, October 18th on ESPN2. You can check it out weekdays at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific, right here in our LA studios. All right, let's stick to KD talk here. He's currently tied for third in the preseason MVP odds, according to Caesars Sportsbook. So, Ramona, KD wins MVP this season if
the Nets win the East and he plays at least 65 games. Does that sound about right?
Mm-hmm. I'm going with KD wins the MVP this season if Kyrie only plays 41 games. I have Joel Embiid as my MVP favorite, but if Kyrie is not going to be available for half of the season, that means more touches and more shot attempts for Kevin Durant. That means he's probably going to lead the league in scoring with James Harden facilitating the offense.
I'm going on the Anthony Davis redemption tour this year. I feel like Anthony Davis has been an MVP front runner for a long time. This season, though, he's not on that first group, okay? If you look at this list, he's not there. And I think that AD will have a chip on his shoulder, and no disrespect to anyone, Giannis or Luka or Kevin or even LeBron, Curry.
Or Jokic, who won last year.
Or Jokic, who was the defending MVP, yes. I think AD, that's going to be my dark horse pick. I'm going to go with AD there. All right, coming up next, Kawhi Leonard said he wanted to secure his bag with the Clippers because he hopes to return to play this season. Wow. Wait until you hear what Perk and Ramona have to say about this. Keep it locked right here to The Jump.
Eastern right here on ESPN for NFL Live. The secret to Dallas's defensive success, plus everything you need to know about the Patriots as they're going to welcome Tom Brady back home again. Why Mac Jones has been struggling and how they can fix it. We'll see you at 4.
All right, Laura, looking forward to it. It's crunch time here on The Jump. Yesterday at Blazers Media Day, Dame addressed Portland's offseason by saying, quote, I didn't expect us to go out there and get Kevin Durant all of a sudden, but we've done some things that I like. I think we'll be competitive again. So, Ramona, how competitive are the Blazers going to be?
I mean, they've been competitive the whole time Dame's been there. They're just not necessarily in the hunt for a championship. I think they'll be better this year. I think everything I hear from players on that team is that people really like playing for Chauncey Billups so far. Big Nurk right there, he was saying how much he enjoys him so far the other day when I talked to him. They're going to be better. Are they going to win? I don't know.
Probably not. Perk?
Well, they're actually my dark horse to coming out of the Western Conference.
Wow.
Okay.
But here's why I say it. When you look at the Portland Trail Blazers, right, this is a group of guys that could score with any of them, right? They when you talk about what they got on the offensive side of things with Dame, C.J. McCollum, Norman Powell, right? Those three in particular is a miniature big three on the offensive end that could get buckets. And now you got Big Nurkic, who said publicly, Chauncey Billups was the best thing that didn't happen for me since Damian Lillard. And that goes to show me we're talking about communication. And what happens in a great marriage when you get married, the number one that the preacher tell you is communication, right? You got to... So that goes to tell me that now Chauncey has the ears, he has the attention of the locker room. So when I look at the Portland Trailblazers, they get things right on the defensive side of things. Well, with the offensive firepower that they have, they're my dark horse.
All right. Well, Perk, I'm just warning you. I saw our boy Chuck, Charles Barkley, last year put big cash on the Blazers, and they didn't play a lick of defense, didn't help out Chuck. So hopefully –
Either.
Yeah, hopefully you don't go
like
down
Perk
that path.
Marriage advice, though. That can be like a spin-off.
Perk's marriage advice should be a segment.
Good.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's talk about the Clippers. Speaking of a marriage, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George got basketball married a couple years ago. Kawhi's playoff run came to an unfortunate end after partially tearing his ACL at the end of Game 4 in the second round versus Utah. Yesterday, he was asked about his decision to sign a long-term contract as opposed to a one-on-one deal. Let's take a listen.
Because I wanted to play. You know what I mean? I mean, the best situation for me. And I wanted to be able to come back if I was able to this year. If I'd have took the 1-1, I probably would not play just to be cautious and, you know, opted out and took a 5-year.
So, Perk, what changes for the Clips if Kawhi can go at this point, at some point this season?
Oh, everything changes. It puts them right back in the thick of things, especially with Paul George getting his confidence back. We all were able to see what Ty Lue brings to the table because he has been flying under the radar because he coached LeBron James. But if Kawhi could come back and he's 80 to 90% healthy, watch the hell out. Reggie Jackson, Marcus Morris. I think, you know, when you look at them last year, if they had Kawhi, I honestly believe that they would have went to the finals.
You know, I was at the Clippers groundbreaking that they had last week, and there is some cautious optimism that Kawhi can come back this year. I mean, everybody wants to be cautious. Nobody wants to put any expectations on him, any pressure on him to come back. He even said the other day, I don't know if people heard the full quote, I don't feel like I'm injured. It's hard to feel like you're – that's right. A good quote right there from Kawhi.
We'll see. Thanks, Ramona and Perk. Dave McMiniman, we'll talk to you tomorrow. NFL Live is next.
We just make everybody jealous with that.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.